This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindi Chekwa. The Buckeyes are 10-0. Sparty came to town. Didn't go too well for them, but kudos to our Buckeyes. We got that victory. But, Chim, go ahead and hit him with the ad. We can start the show.
So the last of major pro sports leagues is off and rolling, and college basketball is ready to go as well. BetOnline remains your top spot for all your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, and NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the hoops, betting action, along with every sport available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use your promo code BLEED for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with your needs. But hey, like we said, Michigan State came to town. Ohio State gets the victory 38-3. Overall, we played pretty well. Played pretty well. It was a night game. We had the cool color rush, I'm going to call it, all gray jerseys on, looking pretty sweet. And we played pretty sweet as well.
Yeah, it was a good showing. One of the main focus areas for Ohio State in all of these games is get a fast start, you know, offensively. Let's get out there. Let's start fast. Let's get things rolling. He did exactly that. You know, we're able to execute on some really good runs throughout the game. Kyle McCord looked special out there, to say the least. I mean, he came out throwing the ball all over the place. Obviously, you have a special talent in Marvin Harrison, and he showed who he is. Probably the best player in college football. So, yeah, I was excited about the fast start. I think I was most excited about the run game and Kyle McCord's play throughout the game.
Yeah, so Kyle McCord had a career day, 335 passing yards, 3 touchdowns as well. But obviously, that's more to the story. Obviously, playing Michigan State, right? Not the most competition. But McCord made some pretty special throws, right? I mean, if you just go back and kind of look at the highlights, the first touchdown that he stole to Marvin Harrison, I mean, is a very special place ball. It's like over the back shoulder. It's perfect. He doesn't throw it out of bounds. Then Marvin goes up and make a great catch over a defender and scores a touchdown. But another touchdown throw as well is the one he hit to Cade Stover. He hits him in the position where he's getting guarded by a linebacker, and the linebacker is in a pretty good position, but he's able to kind of place that ball in the spot where only Cade could get the catch, and he's able to kind of adjust his body and make that terrific catch and score another touchdown. So overall, I feel like McCord felt very calm. He looked very confident in his play, and I think he's poised for this November run we need to go on here.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and apologize to Kyle McCord right now. You know, I wasn't sure. I had my doubts about whether or not they made the right thing. I mean, I trust Ryan Day's decision. But, you know, it was in the back of my head thinking, like, you know, did you choose the right quarterback? Is his ceiling, is his, you know, his growth curve going to reach a level that can lead this team to a championship? And I guess it's still to be determined. But from what I saw from him this past weekend, he can make all the throws. He can make all the throws as long as his mechanics are good. As long as he gets his feet set, he's throwing it. He steps into his throws. He can do it. And you know, one thing I say is, when it comes November, there's no young player on the team, especially if you're a starter. If you're a starter and you started all year, when November comes, it's college football. There's only so many years that you can play football in general. So, you know, you're a veteran come November. But for quarterbacks, the thing about quarterbacks is it's so hard to simulate game reps that you almost need those reps to really maximize it, to really become who you're going to be. And I think McCord is just beginning to figure out what consistency for Kyle McCord looks like, what exactly he needs to do to be effective. How to utilize his weapons, right? You know, you want to make some downfield throws, but it may require you to take a bunch of short throws, some checkdowns, stay on time, stay ahead of schedule, and then when those opportunities open up in the red zone, in the shot zone, you can take those throws to one of the best players in the country. And he did that. And I, you know, from what I saw against Michigan, I know it's Michigan State, but the way I see it is, if we are effective running the ball, no matter who it is, we're effective running the ball, McCord is going to – things are going to open up, and McCord is going to be the quarterback that can go out there and deliver those plays. And I don't really see – in that scenario, I don't see anybody being a clear favorite over Ohio State.
Yeah. And then also, like you said, we know what we could get out of the quarterback play. If McCord could be that guy that we saw on Saturday, we could obviously compete and beat anyone in the nation. But like you said, get the ball to our playmakers. Our biggest playmaker of the year, the biggest playmaker in college football, in my mind, is Marvin Harrison Jr. He goes out. He has another terrific day. He has his first rushing touchdown, right? Kicked the game off with a rushing touchdown on a reverse type of action end around to him. He also has two catching touchdowns or two receiving touchdowns as well, three on the day, another 149 receiving. And he also did something that's pretty special, right? For Ohio State receiver, he's the first out of all the great Ohio State receivers over the years. I mean, you talk about from back in the day to recent day and everyone in between, he's the first Ohio State wide receiver to have 2,000-yard receiving seasons. And this kind of once again goes to our campaign that Marvin Harrison Jr. deserves to get that invite to New York and should get that trophy because he is by far the best player in college football.
Yeah, he's the best player. I think he finishes off as – I think it's close. You know, we it's close, but I think he finishes off as the best receiver to come out of Ohio State. It's close, though. I don't want to just say that like he's the best receiver to ever play at Ohio State and just make it seem like it's so definitive that there wasn't a bunch of great players who come out. But I saw David Boston was in attendance to watch the game. With some of his records, he beat Chris Carter. Some of his records, he beat Chris Olave. Some of his records, he's going to finish off and be able to beat. And I think just the completeness of Marvin Harrison as a receiver, I think he deserves that Heisman being the best player. And it's like he has to be, to me, he just has to be rewarded for it. Because it's not just the talent. You know, you see a lot of guys come through who off the charts, athleticism, can make a lot of amazing catches. There's so much nuance to his game. There's so much detail and so much consistency that I really want him to be rewarded for it. And I think he will be. I think if McCord can finish strong and continue to play like he did, if the offense can finish strong, let me not just put on McCord. If the offense can continue to perform, it opens up things for him. And if he can have a big game against that team, that stealing team up north, if he can have a big game against them, I think he could solidify himself as that Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, definitely. And also in this game, once again, now, Michigan State did come out. They did have some moderate success, to say, at running the ball, was able to get a field goal off of it. But before off the game, Ohio State was pretty dominant, right? Yeah. In the second half, was able to sit several guys. I think Marvin, he got those stats basically in a half. Really didn't throw the ball a ton in the second half. But so he was able to play some younger guys, right? So it's November now, and obviously this rule from – back when we was in school, under Trestle Ball, you always want to go undefeated in November. And we had the opportunity to play some younger guys, specifically at quarterback position. We had to see Leakin get some reps. He had some multiple receivers in there. Defensively, another stout day for them. They was able to play their young guys as well. What do you think is the importance of having a chance to play some of your younger guys, due to guys, like you say, with, I guess, the lack of experience of on-field play in November so they can kind of get that feel?
I think it's big because, you know, you never know when a guy's going to go down. You want to bring a guy in that you trust to continue to not miss a beat. So I think it's good that some of the younger guys got some experience, not just for this year, even going into next year as well. They didn't execute perfectly in some of the runs, particularly in the run game. There was some missed assignments there. But overall, they need that experience. You want those missed assignments now. Yeah. Right, because if they have to come in during a bigger game, you don't want them to be able to be a liability out there. So I think it's good. It's also good to get the guys that you need healthy. There's some guys out there that they need to come into, not so much Minnesota, but that final game against Michigan. You want them to be there healthy and prepared to play a long, tough football game. It was good to see that out there.
And we have a very special guest all the way from Minnesota. We have Tony Liebert with us today on the show. How you doing today, Tony?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
That's good. If you don't know Tony, Tony is the leader, the runs, Believe in Minnesota Football. So he's one of our Believe brothers here on the network. He also is a contributor to the Gopher Hole, which has a huge following on Twitter, and write articles for them as well. So he knows his Gopher football. So as you know, you guys are coming to town this weekend. What do you got? What should we expect?
Yeah, I looked at the point spread, 4-touchdown favorite. That'd be the second time that the Gophers have been that big of an underdog under PJ Fleck. The other time would have been the first time we played Ohio State with Fleck in 2018. So definitely a low point of the season, coming off two straight losses, kind of a disappointing game to Purdue. But nation watches when Ohio State plays, so it's a big opportunity to get back on track.
Yeah, so – me and Brian remember PJ. PJ Fleck was a GA when we were freshmen at Ohio State. I guess, you know, he's a polarizing figure. He's a high-energy guy. You mentioned coming off a tough loss. Is the team still, like, is Gophers football still high on PJ Fleck in terms of, is his message still getting through to everybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think the team will always be bought in because he recruits players that are bought into his system and the way he does things. And I don't think he'll ever lose the locker room. The fan base, on the other end, I think there'll always be people that are high on him, that are low on him,
yeah.
Just kind of his personality. But he's a motivating guy. He knows how to get his team going for big games, especially. Earlier this year against Michigan, kind of a tough showing, but he usually shows up for big games. Last time we played Ohio State, and that would have been 2021 when CJ Stroud first career start. That was a close game up until halftime.
Yeah,
and there's, I guess, no reason he can't put in a similar effort. But obviously, coming off two straight losses in a disappointing game to Purdue, the temperature amongst the fan base is a little low. But they're still going to be PJ fans, and I think the team's going to be bought in for this game.
Yep. And like you say, obviously disappointed showing against Purdue. I believe you lost that game. You guys lost that game 49-30. So for every reason, Purdue just kind of had their way on offense, kind of went up and down the field, especially running the ball. But when you look at this Gopher team, what do you think your guys do well that us Ohio State Buckeyes should be essentially concerned about or worry about when we play you guys on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota's been a running team under PJ Fleck with Muhammad Ibrahim in the past, and seemed like we were going to get another star running back with a true freshman, Darius Taylor, open the year. He didn't play week one, but then he went three straight games of 100 yards, and then he's kind of been battling injuries since. And he hasn't played since the Iowa game, so he hasn't played in 3 weeks he's been out. And there's a chance he plays this week. His injury's kind of been under the wraps, not 100% sure. But definitely a running team, and they still have a lot of talent in the backfield with Zach Evans and Jordan Newbin. But, I mean, coming off last week, it's a team that's built to run the ball and play tough defense. When you let up 49 points, it's hard to hang your hat on tough defense. But they've been dealing with injuries all year. Starting linebacker didn't play last week, which I think was a big reason for the success on the ground for Purdue. So if they can get Cody Lindenberg back, that'll help a lot. But it's tough to hang your hat on much when you let up 49 to a Purdue team that's 2-7. But there's still a lot of talent in the rush offense. And Daniel Jackson's been playing really well at wide receiver. He's certainly a guy to look out for, but definitely a running team that if they don't make mistakes, I think they still have the talent to at least remain competitive in most games.
So in the season, Minnesota Gophers, they're currently 5-5. So we know to get bowl eligible, which you want to do. You want to get bowl eligible, to continue practicing for one, have some reasons to practice throughout the month of December and also playing the bowl game so your guys can kind of get that experience. So essentially, they got to beat Ohio State at Ohio State or win the rivalry game against Wisconsin to get that done. And I'm just going to throw it at you. Obviously, the rivalry game was you guys play for the Paul Bunyan, the big axe. What's your thoughts? What's your bet? What do you think? How do you think the Gophers are going to come up with this win? Is it beat Ohio State or is it save it all for Wisconsin in the last game of the season?
I don't think they're beating Ohio State. But it's a tough position because We were talking before the show. They beat Iowa, and they get to 5 wins 3 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. And that was a big win for PJ Fleck. First time beating Iowa, first time beating Kirk Ferentz. And then they just needed to win one more to be bowl eligible. You get Illinois at home. I'm forgetting about the Michigan State game, excuse me. They beat Michigan State after Iowa, get to 5 wins. And then you just need one more to get bowl eligible. And you had Illinois at home and Purdue on the road. So it seemed like an achievable thing. And the Big Ten West was still a possibility to win at that point. So then you have two disappointing losses in a row. And then you get Ohio State, number one team in the country, big bad Buckeyes. And you got to – it's not going to be easy this week. And then you got Wisconsin at home, thankfully, that kind of be a toss-up in that game. Wisconsin struggling. They just lost to Northwestern. But best case scenario, I think, for the Gophers would be a surprisingly close game against Ohio State where – maybe the Buckeyes are overlooking them a little bit, looking forward to Michigan, and then they win next week against Wisconsin. But that's a lot of ifs and buts, I think, before we get to that point. But I think this team just needs to take it one game at a time, and Ohio State's in front of them right now.
Gotcha. Well, Tony, we really appreciate you coming on. Once again, you always can catch Tony on Believe in Minnesota Football and also his articles and news clippings in the Gopher Hole. We appreciate you for jumping on and being on Believe in Buckeyes with us. And obviously, we hope you guys play well on Saturday, but obviously, we don't want you to win the game. That's just how it is, but we appreciate it.
Awesome. Sure they play well, man. It was good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And now that it's November, we got to talk about it. We got to bring it up. We got to do our segment here, man. We're going to call it TSTUN. We got to talk about the guys that wear the blue, man. So what's up with them?
Yeah, that spying team up north. They're probably listening in on this conversation.
It definitely is, man. Taking notes for sure.
So they had a big game. The first game against a top-ranked team. Michigan versus Penn State. And they had a really good game. Really good game. Going into that game, J.J. McCarthy was getting a lot of the hype. You know, their passing game. They talked a lot about Michigan's passing game. I hadn't watched a lot of them. But it was very clear versus Penn State that they are a running team. And they ran the ball 30-plus straight times in the second half. They didn't throw the ball in the second half.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, so it's pretty clear who they are. They're still the same team, outside of the spine, right? I think they've closed the spine loophole that they found, but solid football team. The post game was interesting though.
Was it interesting or was it just bad? I think it was bad, but yeah. So if you did, I mean, I've always seen it now, but there's a clip going around. It's the offensive coordinator. He was the acting head coach. I think it's like Shamar Moore or something like that. Tears. Like, I mean, not just like I'm a little bit emotional. My eyes is kind of runny. Like, I mean, just tears streaming down the face, screaming how he loves Harbaugh. And basically, the thing is that, and this is the craziest thing to me. It's like, the Michigan guys are really taking a tone like someone has did them wrong. Like someone is doing us wrong. The Big Ten and is doing us wrong, and the NCAA investigating us is a situation where they actually fired a guy because he was running this ring of spying on teams. Like, that's crazy mindset to me.
It's wild. With the threats to leave the Big Ten. It's like when my older brother used to threaten to run away from home. You know what I'm saying? I knew he wasn't serious because I would say, "All right, when you leave, I'm taking all your toys." And you're like, "Shut up! No, that's my you know, my toy." I'm like, "Well, if you're not gonna be here, what does it matter?" You know, it just doesn't seem real. But you know, I think this is their way of rationalizing the situation, making it seem like. What we did isn't that big of a deal, and now the entire world is against us. And it's also a way to galvanize the group that's there and make sure that they all come together to fight everyone else. So Michigan against everybody else. The reality is they brought all of this on themselves. However, it does play well for the football team to perform. Like, this type of mentality doesn't make sense.
No.
But it does play well to galvanize a group and to continue to lock in and try to finish off this season strong.
Yeah, well, but it's just, to me, like I said, they played Penn State. They played well. I mean, they won 24-15. Penn State, this would be frank, I mean, they just didn't do enough offensively. I feel like they didn't do enough offensively to kind of really keep that game competitive. Obviously, once kind of getting down, they was able to come up with a score, but it was kind of too little, too late type of situation. So, yeah, you know, good job. You finally played one ranked team, you know, a team that was highly ranked. You win that game on the road, you know, good job for them. But it's just, to me, it's just the craziest mindset that we got caught cheating. And since we got caught cheating, you know, you guys shouldn't really do anything about it, because especially not to our head coach, because you can't prove that he knew what was going on. It's just to me, it's a crazy mindset. It's a crazy thing to say. He had to know. It only makes sense that he has to know. He got this guy on the sideline in the coordinator's ears.
Yeah.
You don't let anyone get into your coordinator. He's trying to call a play. He's trying to call a game. He got a script. He got a play sheet in front of him. He's locked in. You don't let anyone talk to this guy, bother him. Not a backup, not another coach. Like, he's locked in the moment in his headset, talking to his unit, trying to perform. And you got this guy who's a recruiting analyst in his ear, you know, watching the sidelines in his ear, you know, contributing. It just does not happen. So, I mean, I think more should come from it, to be frank. I don't, you know, a little suspension of the coach, he can't be on the sideline for a few games. To me, that's not enough. I think the way the Big Ten did the suspension is they kind of opened the door, like, okay, if more stuff is proven, we're going to do more. And obviously, you know, everybody's talking about the NCAA. Do they have the power to do anything? We'll have to see from there. But I'll be this frank. I just don't like it. Everyone's kind of comparing it. And the funny thing is, like, you know, in the social media world, like, right, Michigan getting caught cheating. Everyone is bringing up our senior year, our last year at Ohio State. You know, we had the tattoo gate, and we get guys get suspended, and you know, we end up moving on from Coach Tressel because of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't understand how you compare these two things, because for one, this is some off the field stuff.
Right.
None of this stuff, no matter how many, if anybody had tattooed from their face to their toes or to cover their whole body, none of this stuff affected how we played in the games. Right. You guys got caught cheating, still in place to affect how the competition was played on the field. And to me, it's just it's a totally different thing, totally different ballpark.
Yeah, it's a different ballpark. It's kind of crazy. And I honestly don't dislike Harbaugh as a coach. He's a little weird and stuff, but like him for players. Like, I like, you know, his approach for players who play for him. And I also like him as, like, the villain to compete against every year. But the spying thing, it took it too far. And at the end of the day, you know, it's just one of these things where, like, I know what they're trying to do, but it's not going to work, at least when it comes to minimizing the sanctions against them. But they may be able to finish out the season, which these wins may end up being vacated later on. Anyway, and I mean, the suspension, the Harbaugh suspension, I mean, it's not really a suspension. Like, he could be around the program, he could prepare for the games, he just can't be there during the game. Maybe they lose some game management from their head coach, but really, he's not really suspended. And then the idea, for any Michigan fan that may or may not be listening to this, the idea that Harbaugh didn't know about it, it's not realistic. And all the people who play football and play for Michigan and say that he may not have known, come on. There's no possible way that these signs are coming through and he didn't know. It just isn't possible. It just isn't possible. That's why he's not even addressing it. They're just saying, look, I want a chance to be able to be innocent until proven guilty, which means we did it, but we want to be able to defend ourselves at the end of the day. But nobody's saying, they're not saying they didn't do it. They never, I have not heard the lawyer or nobody saying, we haven't done it. Which means they did it. So,
I mean, they did it. Yeah. I mean, they fired the guy. I mean, right? You talking about due process, and the guy got fired. We're like, what happened to his due process, right? Like, but I mean, that's, yeah, we'll, yeah. But hey, we get a couple weeks and we see him.
The last thing is, I'm going to say this, and I'm talking directly to all Michigan fans, all Michigan beat writers, podcasters, guys I might have played with, guys I played against. If they lose to Ohio State, and I want all the smoke if Ohio State loses, but if they lose to Ohio State, I am on everybody's head that came through Michigan. The athletic director, the president, everybody. I'm coming at y'all. If you got an ad on Twitter and I see it, and you got one of those little McDonald's looking M's in your profile pic, I'm coming at you. I'm talking crazy to you because after all of this, you guys deserve all the smoke in the world, and you're going to get it from me.
That's right. And like we like to end all our shows, OH.
I-O.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. And we out.